Lord, may we sit intently, Lord, with our hearts open, Lord, as it's very important, Lord, to hear what you have for us, Lord, and then go out and live, willingly live by your word, Lord, and we appreciate it. Appreciate the desire, Lord, to be here this morning to do your will. Lord, just have your way in this service. Everything that's said and done, we'll give you all the glory, praise, and honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We turn to page 176 in our own belief. Blessed assurance. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior. Hallelujah. I am happy and blessed. You feel blessed? Amen. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, by His grace, lost in His love. Praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. That's the story of my life. Amen. And how we should. Page 245 in the same book. Amen. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings astride, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It is safely will the storms withstand, for 'tis well secured by the Savior's hand. And the cables fast from His heart to mine can defy the blast through strength divine. We steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It will firmly hold in the strength when the breakers have torn the reef, the tempest rage and the wild winds blow, not an angry wave shall our bark overflow. We have an anchor that keeps we'll surely and precious. Say amen. Any wonderful? Fill the sweetness with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just abiding in, then leading, guiding. So thankful. Such grace. Amen. Brother Settles, you might take up the offering. We've asked our pastor to come, and we sing that little chorus. Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up.
Precious Heavenly Father, again we are so thankful for your love, your mercy, grace, all these great things, Lord, we are so appreciative of. We're so thankful, Lord, that there's a precious desire that burns within our hearts to do everything and anything you even mentioned. Oh, that's so precious. I ask, Lord, today as we've gathered here once more, we don't know when the last time will be. Maybe today is the last day. I don't know. I don't know the day or the hour, Lord, that you'll be appearing. We definitely know it's getting close. Seeing all these prophecies that your prophet spoke, Lord, and told us about, and things happening throughout the land, the life coming into the body, all these different things, Lord, it's truly telling us and warning us that you're going to appear. Just trusting, Lord, that all of us will be able to recognize it. And Lord, may it be something about it that, Lord, you truly will be most definitely the first place in our life. So we ask you again as we go in this word today that you would open our understanding and Lord, let us be as little children hungering and desiring, Lord, to see what's for us as an individual, not as a congregation, but as an individual. So we ask that you would bless us now and just help us to do thy precious will and most perfect will above everything, Lord. In your glorious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. My, I count it such a privilege and honor to be serving the living God. Amen. The one true God. Let us turn our Bibles and refresh our minds. Just a short little scripture before we go on this morning in John, the 3rd chapter and the 7th verse. And just a few words. Again, we know this is where he was having this conversation with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus had come to him through the night and desiring to know and understand some things. And our Lord Jesus said in verse 7, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And may the Lord bless again reading His Word, and you may be seated. Now, Lord, when we'll be trying to finish up on this, I don't know if it'll be today or next service, whenever it be. But anyway, I don't know. Who knows? I may never get finished on it. It's whatever the Lord leads. But maybe some getting tired of hearing it. But I don't get tired of hearing it. And I don't get tired of preaching it because it's so needed in this hour. When He said here, ye must be born again. And truly it is a must. And I thought, this morning I was sitting there and, of course, reading these things again and studying on it. And I thought, I'm just going to look up the original Greek on it. Probably won't know what must would be, but just to kind of see what it says. And in the original Greek it says it's necessary. You must be born again. It's necessary. Okay? Necessity of long command. By all means, it's required. I think of that. By all means, it's required. And, and some may think they're going to get in without it. And some may think that they've got it and they don't. And some may have it and don't use it like they should. Maybe they're not yielded like they should. And, we just want to, as I said, pick back up in this morning. And I want you to see again, we was talking about last Sunday, trying to get to it, the blessing of it, of the new birth. And, we must keep in mind, as the prophet brought the token, keep it in mind, how it's such a serious thing now, saints. It's not something to play with. It's not something to even walk through the day thinking, maybe I've got it. Or perhaps I'm trusting that I have it, Or maybe somebody told me I had it and I didn't, So it's got to be a for sure thing, To where the passerbys that comes passing by you knows that you've got something. Of course, God Himself knows because He's the one that gives it. So there is no point or position of any unassurance of it. Okay? You've got to know. So as we go into this, and as I said, the prophet shows how serious this is. And then even after the message, he brought desperation. Now think about that. Here he brings a message showing the people what was so desperately needed in this last days of knowing you're born again, knowing you're filled with the Holy Ghost, knowing that you've had a change of nature, you've had a soul change, and you know for sure, and desperation should strike our hearts until we know for sure. And knowing for sure isn't just deciding in our mind that I think I got it. Or you thinking you have it because of maybe you felt a little bit of excitement. Maybe you had a little bit of emotion. And then nothing panned out after the emotion. Those things won't work for this day. This is something you have to know. And then when you find you're in this position, that you truly have this, the prophet showed us something very tremendous and truly a blessing. If we really know that we have it. Now, the last few weeks we went through things and bringing things out in the Word that if we don't have it, it shows up, and he was giving us examples of all these things the prophet did. And I was reading them. And showed us what we would be if we didn't have it. Showed us what it would be if we was deceived and thinking we was a Christian or not. He showed us these things. Because again, as he said, I repeat it many times, but I can't seem to repeat it enough. That it is the most deceptive age. Most deceiving age that ever was. When people can honestly, it's just, they can really believe they're Christians when they're not. They can really think that. And yet their life doesn't prove that they've had a change of that soul. They really, you can't see it that they've had that change of nature. Now you might see somebody that's living a little bit better and doing things a little better than they did, but to come down to the Word made manifest, where you see it controlling their life, when you see trials come up and the Word comes and brings out the manifestation of the Word, instead of bringing out manifestation of carnality and flesh and sin, evil, wicked ways and thoughts, and then have to keep coming back for the same thing you keep doing. Forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord. You know, it just don't work, you know. It's not the way it works, okay? Now, the blood there is to cover us, you see. But when there's no overcoming to it, that's when it's very serious. Now, actually, my dad isn't here today, and hopefully he's watching. But I want him to listen also what I'm going to bring today, and it'll answer something he was talking about with me the other day. And and I'm sure maybe it'll help some others too, maybe, you know. So I'm trusting that you will be very tentative and listen. And yes, it's nothing new, by no means. I'm not here to bring you something new. You know, it's always scary when a preacher gets up and he's going to tell you, I'm going to bring something new. I'm going to give you a new revelation. You better back up a little bit, because I'm telling you, that's a little scary, you know. Because the Word's already been brought. It lays right in front of us. We just say what He says. We just must ask God for the revelation of what He already said, you see. And I trust that God will do that today, and work with the Holy Spirit in our hearts and help us out with a little something here if we're in that position needing it. All right, but he says here, you must be born again. And we see the seriousness of it. He preached desperation. You know, and even as, you know, I've got it opened up here in Jeremiah 29 chapter 12 verse. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me. When you shall search for me with all your heart. Yeah. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Yeah. And if we are finding ourselves in that position that, you know, the Word has come forth this time, and I'm not real sure, not real positive, and yet there's something in there calling out, crying out to God, then you better be searching with all your heart. With all your heart. And if you do, He promised you'd be found of Him. You see? So, I'm just trusting that, you know, every pastor wants to see, I'm sure. Maybe some of them don't, I don't know. But every pastor should see or want to see every one of his sheep in this little congregation saved. Wants to see every one of them filled with the Holy Ghost. From the oldest to the youngest, you know. That's what we desire. We long to see that. You see, but you know, when God set shepherds up, He didn't set dummies up, you know. If they're His, He didn't set His men in the church to be ignorant and unlearned, to not know anything, but He opens their heart or understanding to His Word as He feeds the lambs and sheep of God. And He understands things, and God shows things to them of what's needed and what His little sheep may be lacking, you know. So that's what we do. We see these places, as the prophet spoke of. You know, a pastor will look over his congregation and see something lacking, something short. He'll build a sermon around it, and he'll bring it. Isn't that what he said and talked about? So, that's what we do, you know. If we see these things lacking, and it doesn't make us a judge, we don't get up here and judge people. The only thing we can do is tell you what the Word says. And if we don't, as an individual, line up to the Word, you might as well face the fact and face reality. Our life doesn't show it. You see, if we are not coming into the Word as God promised we would, and be this overcomer, be one that is filled with His Spirit, how it would happen, and how it would respond in their lives, how their actions would turn to, and all this, you can't help it. You can't hide those actions. You are what you are, you know? So, like I say, if there's actions coming forth, if there's a life coming forth that shows we don't have it, comparing with what the Word said it should be, because we don't compare ourselves by ourselves, but we compare by ourselves by the Word of God. So that's what we do, is compare by the Word and see where we are in God, you see? So, again, if our life doesn't add up to it, then that individual that's maybe not adding up to it, they can say all kinds of things. They can say, oh, 40 years I was filled with the Holy Ghost, praise God, I know God's in me, I know I'm born again, and all kinds of things. They can just say everything. They can say, I understand the Word for the day, I'm a believer of the message. They can say all kinds of things. But then their life doesn't prove it. You see? And that's what the pastor can see. You know? The pastor can see that if the Word's been given, the full instructions there, and it's laid right out there, the road map is laying right in front of them, and they tell the Word, that road map says, this is what it'll be, this is what it'll be, and this is what, and then the people don't do it, you know, something's wrong. And you know it ain't the Word that's wrong. It's the people that's wrong, you see? So we must make sure everything's exactly the way God wants it to be. And if it ain't, how desperation better strike, or you better hope it does, you see? Now, at the time, maybe your job means more, your home may mean more to you, maybe your children, whatever it may be. But I'm going to tell you, you better make sure you find Christ. You better make sure you've got the new birth. And your life is proving it. Not just talking about it, but you're proving it. Yes. And people can see it. People will know that you are definitely changed. You're no one that says, I changed, and then you're still doing the same things over and over and over and over. The people know it ain't changed. The only thing they see is the mouth started talking about changed. The words that come out of their mouth says, I changed. The words come out of the mouth say, I'm a believer. The words come out of the mouth say, I believe the message. That doesn't mean anything. By no means. See? So let's again go into this. And first we'll read Romans 7. And this is something the prophet was talking about, an invisible union of the bride of Christ. And we'll begin just verse 1. And we'll read just down to the 4th, save a little time. But Romans 7 and 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. Oh, they know the law. They know what the Word says. Yeah. How that the law had dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Okay. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband. Now he's talking about a law. He's typing this with the church, okay? Keep that in mind, as the prophet talked about. But now, talking about a woman being bound by the law, that she has give the vow that she will marry a man, and she's married a man, okay? For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Okay? So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from the law. We'll come back to it after a bit here. so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Okay? Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. That's what we want to really talk about today. That ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. We should bring forth a fruit or a finished work. A work of the Holy Spirit, the anointed Christ living in us. You see. Now, as the prophet used this verse, these few verses in his message, Invisible Union, Bride of Christ, I can't really go back to the beginning of it where he started on everything and go into everything where he talks about the woman and her, how she's to honor her husband and all these different things. But we'll just touch on a few things so I can get to a certain point. And if you want to, go back and read it again if you can't remember what it was about or listen to it again. But on paragraph 83, I want to read here. He says, I want to name three things here that she must not get away from. Okay? Like I say, I just don't want to take time to go clear back the first part of it. But maybe some of it will come back to you if you don't remember when we go into this. He says, now I'm speaking, keep the church in mind while I'm speaking this to the natural woman. As Paul is here in the 7th chapter of Romans. She has a sacred trust of virtue committed to her by her Lord. Okay? Now he was, of course, showing us how a woman is to honor her husband, how she is to be faithful to him. She is to make no kind of a affiliation with any other man. She is not to even dress in any way that would cause another man to look upon her, to desire her, or lust after her. All right? Because if he does, and if she has done this, adultery has been committed. Okay? So everything, she's also responsible to her motherhood. She's got these responsibilities as a natural woman to her husband. Okay? She must. When she gives that vow, she must do this. Okay? Now, I know, of course, men that's not filled with the Holy Ghost, they immediately go, and there's a lot of preachers that ain't, but a lot of preachers will get up and then they'll just start hammering on a man. See, I'm the head and I'm the dictator and I'll make her do this and I'm going to make her do that. It's all fine. You're just supposed to be a ruler. Yes, you are. But not a dictator. And you're to love her as Christ loved the church. How many of us men has done that? Wow. Well, we don't want to talk about that because we want to be Mr. Macho, the head of the house, Mr. Dictator, and not show no real love. Just as long as I get my sex in bed, I'm fine. Sorry to be so plain, but that's the way a lot of men in this message are. They claim to be believers. They're a bunch of hogwash. You know, they haven't really studied. Yeah. I don't believe they're even really filled with the Holy Ghost, if you want my opinion. Yeah. Because that's your sister in Christ. You see? I know it's kind of hard to take, but the thing is, it's true anyway. I don't care if people believe it or not. There's too much of this thing in the message today where men don't really love their wife. Yeah. They want to miss their dictator. Make them do this and make them do that. And not really love suffereth long. Love is kind. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. They don't want to hear that stuff. As long as I get my bed stuff, I'm fine. She's just a woman. Yeah. We know what the prophet said, but there's understanding to all those things. You know? She has a sacred trust of virtue committed to her by her Lord. A certain virtue. Nothing else holds it but a woman. That's committed to her by God. She must not defile that virtue. She must not defile it. She must not defile that honor in her husband. She must not defile her true cleanliness with her husband, staying pure and not messing or causing things, other men to lust after her, to desire her, dressing in any form or any way to cause men to look after her, to lust after her. No. These things are all committed to her by God. Okay? And she is responsible that to her husband. Okay? You know, some women just still don't know their place. They just go gab to all the other men and all the other brothers and all this, that, and other, you know, and they just, without their husband there, and they just get a little bit, you know, broad-faced instead of shame-faced, you know. And then that sometimes causes problem. Causes a lot of adultery in message churches. Yeah, it does. Because the woman not knowing her place. And the man takes it, oh, she's flirting with me. She must like, I get a chance, maybe we can talk together, you know. As my, the way she looks at me with her eyes, surely she must be something going on between her and her husband. Maybe they ain't going on real good, and you know, because they're not born again. And I don't care what church you belong to. I don't care if it's a church Brother Branham preached in every day and every night. If you ain't filled with the Holy Ghost, you're just as sinful and sickening as anybody else. You see? What a sacred trust. What a responsibility. Now see why? She's a type of the church. You think God wants a wife that messes with all these man's creeds and ideas and theories, what they feel about things and think about things, or does he want a wife that's true to his word? Yeah, that's what he wants. A wife is truly true to his word. He says, now see why? She's a type of the church, which has the same responsibility as a woman has a sacred responsibility to her motherhood. Yeah. Some women don't have that. That's why today there's animals that raise their children better than some women do. Yeah. They don't have that true motherhood responsibility in their life, you know? So an animal does a lot better job than some of women do. As a woman has a sacred responsibility to her motherhood, to her virtues, to her husband, the church has a sacred responsibility to what? What does the church have a sacred responsibility to? To prayer? To the word? And to Christ, the anointed life, living through you. You have that sacred responsibility as the wife to Christ. To prayer, you know, you have a woman. Maybe you're married to a woman, or maybe you know some man that's married to a woman. And she's not concerned about having his meals ready when he gets home from work. She's not concerned about the clothes being washed. And they pile up and pile up, you know. Maybe she's not she just don't care if she's, you know, looking for his needs that needs met. What's that man see? He sees a woman that don't really love him. Yeah. Should God be any different way when we don't pray? We don't want to talk to him? Huh? You know, usually when a man and a wife won't talk, you know, maybe they've had a steamed up match and they don't talk for a long time. You know, then where's that relationship at? You know, where's it at? Ain't much love there, is there? What about our prayer? I just want to run some things by you first. a prayer life, how much do you talk to the Lord? Does He see you really love Him? What about His Word? How interested are you in His Word to where do you really want to read His Word? Do you really want to listen to His Word? Or you're happy just to show up to services once, twice a week, three times a week, and you're happy? And that's good enough for you. Or do you really have a love for His Word? And you're reading that Word, you're listening to that Word, and because you know, if you're one receiving that Word, you become the Word. You know, as you receive revelation, you become more like Him. You begin to yield more and surrender your life to Him because it's being revealed to you. You understand things. And if you truly love Him, you surely would love His Word. Well, His Word ain't Him. Yes, it is. 1 John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You see? So His Word, what does it mean to us? Are we fulfilling this sacred responsibility? And to Christ, anointing the Holy Spirit in our life, are we fulfilling that? Or do we have some other kind of lover on the side? Do we have another lover on the side that He's got a lot more things to offer the flesh likes? Like Satan's civilization. For he that loves the world or the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Have you got some other kind of lover? Maybe your home? A job? Exciting things to do that the flesh likes? Who's your true love? You see? But the true bride of Jesus Christ that is filled with the Holy Ghost holds this sacred responsibility in her life. And she continues on in keeping this sacred responsibility and holding to this sacred trust between her and her Lord that she really, really loves Him. And her life shows it because she talks to Him all along the way, may even be working. And talk to Him along the way. May just sit down and meditate and talk to Him and whisper a little something to Him, how much you love Him. When's the last time, besides being at church, you told Him you love Him? Or is there any time you say you love Him is when you're in front of everybody else? How much have you told Him you love Him? It sounds like maybe we are trying to do some searching or stir some searching in our life. Yeah, we are. To make sure, because there's a wonderful blessing to this. If you have the goods to back it up when you say you're born again, there's a tremendous blessing to it. I repeat, if you have the goods to back it up. Okay. Now, saints, we could gather in here and we could just talk about nothing but the blessings and talk about nothing but the wonderful things of God and all these things. It's not hard to, the things that don't prick you and stick you and make you think and make you cry out. And, you know, that's, we could do that. And then what? Everybody go burn in hell when this is all over with, this life? Is that what we're here for? Just get excited about the blessings and only the good things about what God has done and talk about eternal life and talk about it, we as in the thoughts of God and all that, which is all good and that's part of it and it has to go with it. But what about when it goes to bring something that really searches the inside? Do we really want that? We really desire that? Do you realize, saints, according to the prophet's message and according to Scripture, how many people are going to be lost? There will be way, way, way more people lost than there will be people saved. Yeah. That's why the prophet kept saying, very few. Very few. Very few. And here we are placed, we was born for this age, and we've come from mother's womb, and we've been born in an age where it is the most deceptive age it ever was. Think of that. And God's mouthpiece plainly told us, as I said a little bit ago, can think, believe, you're a Christian. What's a Christian? Filled with the Holy Ghost. I can believe on that and not have it. Do you sit there and want me to get off the subject? Do you want me to get on something else? I'm tired of hearing this. Then you're the one that needs to be at this altar, crying out to God. Yeah. You say, why is that, Brother Steve? Well, even if you are sitting there and thinking you're born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, ain't you got no more concern than just for yourself? As I said a moment ago, I want to see every one of you make it in. And nobody's telling me everybody's sitting here filled with the Holy Ghost. I ain't buying it. No. Our life shows it ain't. You see? So I don't know how you know, Brother Steve, because God's Word told me so. Just as simple as that. God's Word told me. And if you got the Holy Ghost, God's Word will tell you. This is a time, friends, we must search, we must hunt, we must dig, and make sure we've got what we think we've got. God, help us. Dear Lord. There's enough people going to churches and having fun and being a part of a service and having communion together and all these things. Do you think all these people are going to be saved? No. And friends, if you want to go somewhere where you don't have to hear this kind of stuff, that's fine with me. I by no means bind them here like some other people do in this message. Well, if you leave here, you're lost. I'm going to tell you what, if you want to leave here, you're free to leave. Yeah, I'm not here to bind you. You do not have to listen to me. By no means. But while I'm in here and in this position, and the Holy Ghost deals with my heart, I'm going to make sure you know what this is all about. See? Now, we'll get to it. There's a blessing to it. But we have to make sure we got it first. If you don't know for sure you got it, then this ain't going to mean anything to you, what I'm going to get to. It won't mean the first thing. It's like Brother Pitts was telling me about Brother George and talking to him. You know, it's people are falling off, friends. They're falling away. It's a scary thing, friends. A scary thing. But it has to come. It has to come. Now, it was nature associated with death. Your first husband that had rule over you was your nature by natural birth. Now, we read this quote actually last week. We'll read it again this morning. Natural. So you love the world because you are the world and a part of the world. What? Under that first nature he was born with. That worldly nature. Okay? You love the world because you are the world and a part of the world. That's right. Your desires was by nature to love the world, which you're a part of. So it's just a natural thing, without the new birth, to love the things of the world. That's all there is to it. It's just natural to do that. Okay? You are part of nature. You believe that? And that's your natural thing. That's the reason you have to be born again. You have to. You must be. It's required. If you're going to get somewhere with God, you're going to have to be.
You have to separate. You have to die to that first husband. You can't live with it. You just can't say, well, I'll divorce him and hang him up to occasion. No. No, sir. No writing divorcement, see? He dies. The nature of the world has to die. Okay? Every speck of him has to die. Now, if I say I'm born again and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, there's something not adding up if that first husband, I still see his actions. And I see he's ruling. And I see he's controlling. I see that he's my Lord instead of Jesus Christ being my Lord. There's something wrong because that doesn't add up. I mean, if a woman and her husband, first husband, has died and dead, you don't see him coming back and say, hey, I want you to do it this way. Remember, this is how I done that and I wanted you to do this. No, he's dead. He ain't going to come back and keep telling you what to do. He ain't going to come back controlling you. He ain't going to come back and keep telling you, I want you to wear this kind of dress. It's a little bit tight and I like looking at you in a little tighter skirt, you know. And I like the heels just a little bit higher, so I want you to wear these high heels because I'd like to see you like this. No, you don't have to worry about that. He's dead. Yeah. Now, something's wrong if that husband keeps telling me to do things that I said with my lips, he's dead. He's not really dead. See? But he's got to be dead. He must be dead. And if he ain't dead, you'll not live. See? So, serious? Yes, it's very serious. Because people think they've killed that old husband. That old husband's died. And we still see him ruling. We still see him taking control. You see? So something's just not adding up. It's not making sense according to God's precious word. Okay? He says, every speck of him has to die. You have to be reunited again with another nature. Another nature. Yes. Your name of your first nature was born and put in the book of life. All your deeds was wrote in it too. Everything you done under that nature was put in a book called the book of life. Now, but when you were separated from that union by spiritual death, that's something about those that's, if you're born again, if you separated from that first husband, that first nature, your spiritual death, your natural desire was to cut your hair. Your natural desire is to wear shorts. Talking about the first nature. He says your natural desire is to cut your hair, desire to wear shorts, paint your face. Your natural desire is to be intellectual, smart man, knowing something better than others. That's what Eve wanted. That's the very thing she wanted. That's what got her into trouble like she did, you see. Now your old book is gone. Now he's talking about after new birth. Your old book is gone with your old union. Now this is where it starts stepping into, if you really know that it happened, and the proof, as the old saying would be, is in the pudding, as the old saying would be. And you know it's happened because it lines up with exactly what he said in Future Home. That you would be able to receive the word for your day. It would have vindicated itself. Oh, yeah. You have clear understanding. Yeah. If all that keeps adding up, an entire word, if that all keeps adding up, now, you know it's being revealed to you. You know you're receiving it as it keeps it. Maybe you haven't received it all yet. Maybe you haven't been very long in it or whatever. But you know you're receiving it and your body's coming into subjection to it. You know it's happened in your life. You know for sure, without a doubt, it has happened. And it keeps working right on through you. You see it and other people see it. They know, boy, he's not the same person he used to be. She's not the same person. There's just something about it. My, it's so genuine. My, there's such a real sweetness and kindness and love. My, I just never knew that person had it in them. And they keep receiving the word. And they keep coming to subjection to the word. Yeah. The Bible says, don't do this. Don't do that. Do this. Don't do that. The body's quickly turning to it. You know something has happened. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now your old book is gone with your old union. Now your name is, he skips her minute, has been transferred. Now you say, do you mean to tell me, see, God put it in the sea of his forgetfulness. Now you're listening. If you know this has happened, without a doubt, positively, you know, scripturally, word, known by the word has happened, see your body coming under subjection to it, you know it's happened. Okay? He said, the old book of your natural union, but your new life, your new life is the Lamb's book of life, your marriage certificate, where your true eternal germ from the beginning takes a hold. Now you're not only forgiven, but you're justified. Romans 5:1. Justified is what? I won't read it again because we were last week. This is though you never done it in the first place. Because the real you didn't. Oh. Now you're staying there justified before God. By faith. It's been revealed to you. This new birth's been revealed to you. You know what it is. You know the requirement of it. You see it happening. You see it being fulfilled in your life. You know it's real. It's genuine. You haven't just been deceived into it. You haven't just been deceived in thinking it. But the proof of the pudding is there. You have it. And everybody sees it. Everybody passing by sees it. Yes. Okay. So here you're at that point now. Now let's begin to talk about something. Okay. You're the virtuous bride of Christ. Isn't that wonderful to know? My. Washed in the blood of Christ. Precious, virtuous. Precious. Virtuous. Yes. Sinless Son of God standing with a pure, Sinless Son of God standing with a pure, unadulterated. Here we have that pure, sinless Son of God standing with a pure, unadulterated bride. Pure, unadulterated bride. Yeah. She hadn't mixed up with man's creeds, his ideas. Man's creeds hadn't got her all twisted up and all defiled, thinking things she shouldn't think, acting ways that she shouldn't act. Yeah. Even to point some believers, they call themselves, think, it's okay if I do this wrong. It's okay if I do that wrong. I'm just going to ask God to forgive me and do it again and do it again and do it again. Who's caused that? Satan using that ministry. And made people believe that and think that. No different than the way these Baptists think anymore. You see? He says that he washed this bride himself by the water of his own blood and become flesh and manifested, that he might take you, which were predestinated, in the bosom of the Father. Before the beginning, the same as he was the great attribute of God called love. Oh my. If we would have the same nature, why wouldn't we also love His Word? Why wouldn't we also want to pray? Why wouldn't we want to read the Word and study the Word? Why wouldn't we want to see that life living through us above everything in this life? In perfect faith, we see how far it can get in us. And then Lord willing, pick it up this evening. Perfect faith, August 25th, 1963. Paragraph 63 will begin. Remember, they had the Word, and the Word was flesh then. I was talking about the disciples. He was talking about his disciples before this. Okay. They had the Word, and the Word was made flesh then. And the Word told them, I give you power. This is where I wanted to get to where I wanted my dad to listen to. Okay. I give you power. Amen. I give you power. And they had the power, but they didn't have the faith to operate the Word that was in them. See what I mean? But Jesus had it. He was the Word, and He had faith that what He said would happen. He said, oh, bring him here. How long will I suffer you? That was a difference between the disciples at that time, at that period of time, and where our Lord Jesus was. These disciples had not been born again yet, for one thing. Okay? Keep that in mind. He had faith with his power. How did he? He said, I can do nothing in myself. Why? He relied upon what he was. And we've read this many times. You've heard it many times. You've listened to the prophet preach on it, teach on it. He relied upon what he was. Ooh, Jesus did. He relied in knowing it was the Word. I'm going to tell you what. Now, I'm talking about a true, honest, pure, Holy Ghost-filled understanding. You know also you're a part of the Word. Oh, yeah. You know you came from the same source He came from. You know you are filled with the Holy Ghost. You know you've been born again. You also can know who you are. But why do some things just never happen? There's too many people don't know whether for sure they are or not. Too many. And he had faith in God, who made him the Word. He was God, the Word. And it was in him. And that gave him faith because he understood his position. He knowed what he was because the Scripture had said he was this. And every Scripture tied in to prove that he was exactly what the Scripture said he would be. Now the Scriptures and the Word that came through that prophet tells us exactly who we are supposed to be. If we line up to that, being one that's truly born again, that I've, if you want to call it, harped on the last few weeks. If you can be one that lines up with that, you also can know exactly who you are. Without a doubt. But if you don't know, and as he'll say in a minute, and you keep doing things wrong, you put yourself right back a sinner. What's going to keep you from doing wrong? The new birth. See, it proved exactly what Scripture said he would be, and he knew what he was. Do you really know you're a son of God? A bride of this age? The only way you know for sure is if your life lines up with what that true new birth is. Christ's living through you. Otherwise, you're condemned. How can you ask and know God will give it to you when you don't even know who you are for sure? That is the problem in most message-believing people. Don't believe me. Doubt it. Go ahead. But I can prove it by the Word. Therefore, he relied upon what God had made him. Come
we truly rely on what God made us by what He's doing through us? What He's placed in us? What He's doing through us? And if He did that, then can't we rely upon what God made us as believers? But if we don't add up to what He said believers would be in this last day, I have no confidence. I'm not sure. Some still should be crying out in desperation, friends. Desperation. These signs shall follow them that believe. Get it? These signs shall follow them that believe. He had faith in what He was. And if you are a believer, you have faith in what you are. You understand? It's revealed to you. It's a revelation. You are a believer. But how can you even think that you're a believer unless you're deceived? How can you even begin to think you're a believer if you don't even have something controlling your life that shows you're really born again? That you really are an overcomer? If the Word tells us to quit doing that, and we just don't quit doing it. And half the time, maybe you don't even keep asking God to forgive you. You may come to the conclusion, well, praise God, I might as well wait till I quit doing it. And then I'll ask God to forgive me. Wow, you've done really messed up. You don't realize it, but the Word of God is sharper and quicker than any two-edged sword. And it'll go right down into your heart. You see, it knows all about you. And if you got faith in God, the Bible says over here, if our hearts condemn us, then we can't have faith. Is that why people can't get what they ask for? They don't know they're born again or not. But if our hearts don't condemn us, then we have faith. We have confidence towards God. If you want to read that, it's found in St. John 3:21. I got scripture written down here. Now notice, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. But as long as you're doing things that's wrong. Won't you sisters come? Yes, miss, please. We'll close off here. But as long as you're doing things wrong. Now you know if you sit there and know you keep doing things wrong. You sit there and know whether you keep doing the same things wrong. Over and over and over. You sit there and know if you really are not under submission to your husband. You know that. You really know if you don't really love your children. Because if you did, you'd want to raise them according to God's word. You want them to be raised according to that which would be pleasing to God. Husband, you know if you don't really love your wife. And all you want to do is demand things, and I'm this, and I'm this, and I'm going to make you do this. And I don't like this, and if you don't like it this way, just take the road. Never any encouragement, never shown any long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, forgivingness. No. I'm the head. I was created first. But guess what? You may be the one still in bed and she leaves. Yeah. Because we want to be Mr. Macho Men. We are everything. I am Lord. Yeah. Supposed to be over your wife. Ruler. Sarah still loved her husband. She called him my Lord. You see? What about all these things, friends? Everything. What about it? Now remember, as long as we keep doing these things, it's wrong. Now, if you want me to throw you in a little clue, let me tell you something real scary and really sad. Is when you do those things and it doesn't bother you at all. That's scary. Have you spurned His grace away?
where you absolutely have no more desire anymore. You can sit right here and listen to the word and still really not have a desire for him. Because you spurned his grace away. Wow. But as long as you're doing things wrong, you can't have confidence towards God. You might as well forget it. God's prophet said you ain't, and you won't. He may think you'll change something and muster something up different, and I'm going to have confidence even though I keep doing wrong. Go ahead, try it. It ain't going to work. No. It's against Scripture. You can't have confidence towards God. So you see, you automatically know you're wrong. You automatically put yourself back a sinner. Notice what I said. You automatically put yourself back a sinner. Yeah. By knowing that you're wrong, but when your heart don't condemn you, and you know you're a believer, and there's nothing between you and God, nothing between you and God. Everything's being done just like he said. You can ask what you will and know that it'll be given. I don't care if you need a finger fixed. I don't care if you got a headache. I don't care if you want a baby. I don't care what it is. But you get this first and God will give you whatever you desire. Yeah. And that's why people don't get what they pray for oftentimes today. Because they're so condemned. And most of the time they don't even know they're born again or not. They really don't know if they've had a true experience in Christ. No. It's just a trusting, a hoping. A preacher one time wanted me to confess that I was and everything would be all right, you know, and all that stuff, you know. Friends, this is something that's got to be real in our life. Really real. And everybody sees it. You can ask what you will then and know that it'll be given because it's the word that's given to you just like it was to his disciples. Let's read this last paragraph. Can you give me just a couple more minutes? Now the only thing you have to do then is have faith in what you are. Have faith in what the word says you are. And Jesus had faith in the word of God that said what he was. It's written of me. Oh, listen to that. It's written of me. Go through these message books and see what's been written of you. Go through them scriptures and see what's written of you. It's written of me. Didn't David and the Psalms and the prophets and all them speak of him? I am the bread of life that come from God out of heaven. Amen. I am the tree of life from the Garden of Eden. He says, I am these things. I am that I am. And he knew with that perfect faith that he was the anointed Messiah, that the Spirit of God was upon him. Do you really know you're a bride of Jesus Christ? Do you really know you're born again, filled with the Spirit of God? Do you really know that? Now our lips can say it, but just always remember, there's something God let happen and be processed that our life will show. By our fruits you shall know. Yeah. So, I can say whatever I want with this, but when there's something being manifested that's truly real, genuine, pure, you can look and say, praise God, I am born again. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. The word comes and, amen, so be it, and walk away from that thing that's wrong. Let it be to me according to thy will, God. It may cost you a little bit of a price. It may cost you a friend. It may cost you a family, but let it be to me, Lord, whatever you want. So be it in my life. And you're looking back and saying, oh, he really did do something for me. Hallelujah. Something real, something genuine, something happened in my life. And I'm, and some reason, now when the word comes forth, it just, my, it's just, hey, man, I see that. I see that. That's me. It's me he's talking about. Hallelujah. You know you got something real in. And the things you used to do and didn't bother you, oh, no. No way. You want to steer away from that thing a million miles, you see, to keep God's word. Oh, my. Now, we sit here today, and with the last few weeks, we know, we ought to know where we're at. And if we don't have that in our life, as the prophet just spoke of in perfect faith, that Jesus knew who he was and he relied upon that. Because whatever the scripture said, he was. What about whatever the message says today? We are. Whatever the scripture says today, we are. Now, you can begin to rely on that. Have confidence that whatever you ask, of course he knows you being in that right position, you'll only ask according to his will. You'll ask that which pleases him. Yes. Oh my. And God will give it to you. Yes. Do you understand it? So far. But that's what's wrong. So many people don't know for sure where they're at. And by the preacher especially getting up here and hammering on sin and this wrong and that's wrong and showing us that what flesh does when they're not born again and we're doing those things we shouldn't do, we automatically put ourselves back. I ain't got it. So do we just walk out the door and say, well, forget it, you know, I ain't got it and I just might as well give up? If you do, you didn't have nothing to start with. But if there's something on the inside saying, I've got to get to that place. That is for me. I've got to reach that height. I've got to have that. It's that or death. I've got to have this. Desperation begins to strike. Why do you think the prophet brought desperation after Token? Because he knew that's what the people would better find, that place of desperation in their life. Because he knew they didn't have it. See? Oh God, help us. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Oh Lord. Let's all stand. Amen. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Heavenly Father, we again ask you for your mercy and your grace in our lives. Help us, Lord, that we would not go on with a broad mind and stuck out chest and thinking, I've got this and I've got that, and don't you worry about me. But Lord, you know our hearts. You know the very condition of our life. We're asking, Lord, that you would help us. As well on others thou may be calling. There may be somebody else you're calling on here today. And I may see that I need you. But things just don't seem to be right. I just don't seem maybe to have the desire I should have. And things ain't going right in my life like it should be. I don't seem to be overcoming like I should. So, Lord, while you're calling on somebody else, don't pass me by. Oh, come in my heart, Lord, and just tear it to pieces and melt me down and remake me, Lord. Remove the crust off of my eyes. Give us eye salve, Lord, that we we may see. And let our hearts not be hardened as in a day of testing. But Lord, may we be a true, vigilant, sincere people of God that you can express your life through. May you come down, Lord, and fill every vessel with the Holy Ghost. Oh God, we know in the days of the New Testament, those disciples there, even Paul and those apostles that speak, there was those, Lord, that would receive the Holy Ghost as the word come. And Lord, even now the Holy Ghost can come in a man or woman's life. If they'll just open up, Lord, say, Lord, give it to me. I'm past my time now of acting like I do and pride has set me back. But Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you every hour, every moment of the day. I need you, Lord. Pass me not. May that be our heart's cry, Lord. May a desperation strike our hearts in this little congregation. A desperation that's so great and so powerful. Oh, God, that we could be, as that little colored boy said, laying out in that cornfield and said, oh, God, this old boy's bones is going to bleach out here in this hot sun. I'll die right here, Lord, if you don't fill me with the Holy Ghost. That's a desperate cry, Lord, when it can mean more than food, more than family, more than homes and jobs and all these material things of life. That's when it's becoming something more powerful. That's when you can work, Lord, when a man or woman will seek for you with all their heart. Then you promised you'd be found of them. Bless us, Lord. May your Holy Spirit go with us now. And if need be, take us to our prayer closet and cry out, oh God. In your precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Oh, wonderful Lord Jesus, bless you richly and dismissed.